Welcome to our audio podcast series on financial management. Today I'm going to talk about a topic that everyone knows they should understand, but few actually do. I'm talking about your credit, which is a crucial piece of your financial well-being. Just to give you a quick outline, first I'm going to introduce what your credit is, and then I'll walk through understanding and finding your credit report. From there, I'll talk about your actual credit score, how it's calculated, where it comes from, what it's used for, how it differs from your credit report, and how you can figure out what it actually is. Finally, I'll give you some strategies for how you can be managing your own credit wisely. So first, let's talk a little bit about what your credit is. Your credit is basically what businesses or lenders use to decide whether or not they should let you borrow something. It's essentially the same process that you might use if someone wanted to borrow something from you. So let's say your friend needs to borrow a significant sum of money from you. Your decision about whether or not to let him do it might depend on his character, his ability to pay you back, any collateral that he might offer in exchange, any money that you know he might have in reserve, or even the conditions surrounding the borrowing, meaning the personal cost to you or the situation that he's in. These five questions sum up what are known as the five C's of credit. They are character, capacity, collateral, capital, and condition. These are the criteria that lenders use when deciding whether or not to allow you to borrow something. So how do lenders get this information about you? Well, federal law mandates which information can and cannot be used against you in making these decisions. For instance, it is illegal for any company to use any information regarding age, religion, race, or any other factors against you that have nothing to do with your ability to repay a loan. The information they can use is collected by three different credit reporting agencies. These agencies collect information about you from financial institutions, court documents, public records, employers, companies with which you do business, and other sources. The credit reporting agencies make money by charging other businesses for access to the information they have about you. There are three different credit reporting agencies, and their names are Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. The file that each one of these companies has about you is called your credit report. Your credit report essentially tells lenders how the five C's of credit relate to you, and it is the basis for your credit score. I'll talk about your credit score later, but right now all you need to understand is that it is not the same as your credit report. So why do you need to know about your credit report? Well, it's actually extremely important that you understand and maintain your credit as best you can. Did you know that your credit history can impact your insurance premiums and possibly even your employment? Having good credit can literally save you thousands of dollars over time by lowering the interest you might pay on a mortgage or other loan. If you don't believe me, go online and find a mortgage calculator and compare the difference between 30-year mortgages with different interest rates. An individual with a $200,000 30-year mortgage at 5% will end up paying over $45,000 less than an individual with a similar mortgage at 6%, just 1% higher. When you look at the numbers, it's easy to see why having good credit could be so crucial towards your financial well-being. I'm going to start here by talking about what kind of information can be found on your credit report, so that we can later better understand how some different strategies can help you manage your credit wisely. The first thing you'll see on your credit report is personal information such as current and previous addresses, current and past employers, your social security number, telephone numbers, date of birth, among other things. Your report does not include information about gender, ethnicity, religion, medical history, criminal records, or your credit score. The next piece of information is your credit history, which includes all accounts that were opened in your name or for which you are what's called an authorized user. These accounts could include bank or retail credit cards, loans, mortgages, and home equity loans. For each account, your report will tell you your name and account number, how much you borrowed, how much you still owe, your credit limit, and your repayment history. Repayment history will show if you have remained current on your payments or if you have made payments 30, 60, or 90 days late. It will also show if any of your lenders have closed your accounts. Another piece of information on your credit report is information about inquiries. An inquiry is recorded every time someone requests access to your file. There are different kinds of inquiries that are made to your account, but we will discuss those more in detail when I talk about managing your credit at the end of this podcast. Final piece of information on your credit report is public records. These can include tax liens, bankruptcies, and court judgments. However, as I said earlier, it does not include any criminal records. All of this information can remain on your credit report for a very long time. Negative information remains in your report for 7 years, or 10 years in the case of a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Fortunately, positive information can remain in your report indefinitely, but it is often purged after 7 years as well. It is important to check your credit report frequently in order to make sure that everything is accurate, which leads me to my next point. I mentioned earlier that there are three different credit reporting agencies where you can get your credit report. You can contact these credit reporting agencies individually to have your credit report emailed or mailed to you, or you can visit annualcreditreport.com to receive your credit report. Normally, these companies will charge you for your credit report, but the federal government has mandated each of these companies to give one free credit report to consumers annually. Additionally, some states, including Georgia, provide requirements for an additional free credit report. So a Georgia state resident is eligible for 6 free credit reports annually, one from each reporting agency at the federal and state level. With this information, an individual in the state of Georgia could effectively monitor their credit report by pulling a new free report every 2 months. Remember, if you want to get your credit report online, you want to go to annualcreditreport.com. This is the website where you'll actually be able to receive a free credit report. I know there's a lot of different companies that offer some sort of credit monitoring service or advertise a free credit report or a free credit score, but annualcreditreport.com is the place where you can truly get your free version as mandated by the federal government. So now I'm going to actually talk about your credit score. Remember, I said earlier that credit score is not the same thing as your credit report. Your credit score is sort of like a snapshot view into your credit report. It takes all of the information on your report and boils it down to a three-digit number between 350 and 850. Anything over 720 is considered above average. Analyzing a full credit report can take a lot of time, so often lenders will just look at your credit score to decide whether or not they want to lend to you. The actual credit score is often calculated using a relatively complex algorithm that we don't actually know, but we do know the relative weighting of the five different areas that will make up your credit score. In order to get your credit score, you'll often have to pay a fee. However, you might receive an indication of your calculated score when applying for new credit, and there are some free credit monitoring services such as CreditKarma.com that can offer a relatively accurate estimate of your score based on your credit report. So these are the five factors that make up your credit score. The biggest portion of your credit score comes from your payment history, which accounts for 35%. Practically, this means that paying your bills on time is the single most important way that you can improve or damage your credit score. When you start falling behind on your payments, your credit score will start falling fast. However, every payment made on time will slightly improve your score. The second biggest piece is called credit utilization. This term can be slightly confusing, so it's important that you understand what credit utilization actually is. It is not an indication of how often you use your credit cards. Rather, credit utilization means how much of your available credit you are using up. So, if I have a credit line of $1,000 and a balance of $300 on that credit line, I have utilized 30% of my available credit, $300 out of $1,000. A lower percentage of credit utilized will lower your score. Using anything over 30% of your available credit will start to have a negligible effect on your score. Practically, this means that maxing out your credit cards will damage your credit score because you're utilizing all of your credit. In case you're adding up, you've noticed that by simply paying your bills on time, your payment history, and keeping your balances low, your credit utilization, can account for 65% of your credit score, which is almost two-thirds of your entire score. The remaining 35% of your score is made up of the length of your credit history, the types of credit used, and new credit on your report. The length of your history accounts for 15%, while new credit and types of credit make up 10% of your score each. With regard to length, the longer you have an open line of credit, the better, meaning that there are very few reasons why you should ever close a line of credit. If you have a credit card you don't use anymore, simply cut up the card or stick it in your sock drawer and forget about it, but keep the line open in order to build the length of your credit history, because you'll actually decrease your credit score if you close your longest credit line. This is unless, of course, you're paying an annual fee on that particular line of credit. In that case, you wouldn't want to just hold that line open and never use it. Type of credit refers to good debt versus bad debt, as not all debts are created equally. A 30-year mortgage on a home or an auto loan is considered a good debt. A consolidation loan from a finance company and an excessive amount of credit lines from retailers are examples of bad debt. Lenders like to see diversity among your credit. A healthy credit report with regard to type of credit could include a home mortgage, a car payment, and no more than two or three credit cards, and no sudden or excessive increases in borrowing. New credit is the last factor that makes up your credit score, and it has to do with credit inquiries, which I mentioned earlier. There are two kinds of credit inquiries, traditionally called soft and hard inquiries. Soft inquiries can also be referred to as promotional inquiries. These occur when companies access consumer credit information for marketing purposes, such as credit card offers. Soft inquiries do not impact your credit score. Hard inquiries, however, are consumer-initiated inquiries and will negatively impact your credit score for a brief period of time. A hard inquiry can occur when you apply for a loan or a credit card or when a prospective employer accesses your credit report after you've interviewed with them. A hard inquiry will have a small but detrimental impact on your credit score. For this reason, it is important not to apply for credit excessively, as each hard inquiry will have a negligible effect on your score. Additionally, it would be unwise to apply for a new credit card months before applying for a home or an auto loan. That small ding that the hard inquiry caused in your credit score could lead you to receive higher interest rates, which could cost you in the long run. Utilizing this information about the five factors that make up your credit score can be the most valuable information towards managing your credit. But there are a few more recommendations I can give you before we wrap up the podcast here. When it comes to your good credit, a few steps in prevention are worth a mile in curing a problem. Knowing and avoiding the dangers that might damage your credit is the best way to maintain a strong credit score. You want to keep that score strong before it ever has a chance to drop. The following are a few dangers to avoid when using credit. The first is using credit to live beyond your means. The key to financial security is spending less than you earn, and using credit cards to maintain a lifestyle you cannot afford will destroy your credit with late payments and overutilization, which, remember, is 65% of your score. In fact, it is a good practice to never carry a balance on your credit cards at all. The sooner you learn to pay off the full balance on your credit cards each month, the better. Carrying a balance will lead to increased interest payments and could subject you to other fees such as late payment penalties or over-limit fees. Another danger is only making the minimum monthly payments on your credit cards. If you only make the minimum payment as noted on your bill, it will take you a very long time to pay off your balance and you will end up paying a significant amount of interest on your credit. This is why I mentioned it's a good practice to get in the habit of paying off your balance in full each month. Also, be careful about letting creditors set your credit limit. Remember, utilizing too much of your credit will have a detrimental impact on your credit score, so don't feel as if you should be allowed to reach your credit limit just because your creditors have set it as such. Finally, make sure you're utilizing your credit for the right kinds of purchases. Unless you pay off your balance in full each month, it would be unwise to use credit for everyday purchases. Instead, use credit for large purchases with favorable interest rates, such as prime home mortgages, interest-free programs, or free or reduced interest rate loans or credit offers. Similarly, you never want to use credit for expensive loan options, such as running-to-own, car title loans, pawn shop loans, or payday loans. You can look at our publication titled Managing Credit Wisely in order to see our credit pyramid, which gives an illustration comparing different kinds of credit based on interest rates and how they can affect your credit score. So that's all for our credit management podcast. I hope this information has been helpful and will set you on the right foot towards managing your credit wisely. Feel free to check out any of our other publications on managing credit, and please let us know if you have any questions. Thanks.